This is Twit.
The iPhone XR goes on sale this week on October 26th, but some reviewers have had their hands on the newest iPhone for long enough to tell us what they think. One of those people is Mark Spoonhour from Tom's Guide. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
So the biggest difference between the iPhone XS and the slightly cheaper iPhone XR is the display. Now, what are your thoughts on the LCD screen of the new phone?
I think it depends on where you're coming from, right? So if you've had an iPhone 8 or iPhone 7 before and you like LCDs, I think you're going to like this one too. It's very colorful. It is very bright. But, you know, the snobs among us, and I admit that in the review, we know that OLED displays give you more saturated colors, the perfect black levels, and wider viewing angles, right? So if you're sharing content with someone else, you're definitely going to know that when you're a little off axis. But I think for the vast majority of people, this LCD, especially at 6.1 inches, which is a pretty nice size, is really good.
So we know it doesn't compare to OLED, but how does it compare to other LCDs? You said in your piece that they achieved some upgrades to this LCD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely among the best in its class, not just because of like the colors and the brightness, which is what we expected. It's also very color accurate. And they've done some really cool things in terms of being able to deliver an iPhone XS-like design, like the work with curving the display all the way to the edges and giving you the impression that it is like an OLED phone. Like being able to curve an LCD is actually no small feat. And they've done a lot of like things behind the scenes to make that happen.
Why? I'm curious to know why that is. I guess I don't understand much about like the actual constructive differences, you know, that the capabilities of LCD versus OLED. We're so used to seeing it in OLED. And I guess before your piece, I realized that's probably because that's an OLED thing that I've seen them everywhere. Those phones probably have OLED. Why is it such a challenge for LCD to do that?
Just because OLEDs are just more malleable, and I think, and that's part of the reason why when foldable phones come on the market, they're going to be using OLED displays. Mm-hmm. So in the case of an LCD, it's a lot more engineering expertise that's needed to go into it. And they also did some tricks in terms of anti-aliasing and what they call sort of pixel masking so that the bezel around the iPhone XR, it looks a little bit bigger. I'm going to turn down the brightness a little bit. It looks a little bit bigger than it is on the iPhone XS, and that's partly because as you get closer to the edge of the display, part of the bezel is actually part of the screen, which I know is kind of weird, but they really wanted to deliver an iPhone XS-like look and feel so that across the line, there was this uniformity of design.
So they could, so technically they could have less bezel, but they're keeping those pixels blackened out to give it more of a uniform bezel sort of approach?
That's right. And we're only talking about millimeters here.
Right.
But, you know, when you walk into an Apple store, I mean, it's very important to them that the look and feel is very similar across the line. And they've achieved that.
That's interesting.
So the other way they brought down the price was by having no 3D touch in this phone, but they have haptic touch. Explain what the difference between haptic touch and 3D touch is.
Right. So the biggest difference is that when you're on the home screen, like a lot of people, you do things like force press into shortcuts for apps directly from the home screen. But I think over time, most people have not really used that, and a lot of developers haven't really taken advantage of that feature. So what's good about haptic touch is that it's very similar. So let's say you're on the home screen and you want to activate the camera or the flashlight. Instead of like a force press, you just sort of press and hold, and then you'll feel the haptic feedback. It's very similar to what you'll get on a touchpad for the MacBook Pro, right? So, and the other important thing for me is that at least I do a lot of editing on the go, especially on the iPhone itself. When you press and hold on the space bar on the keyboard, you could then move the cursor around, which is actually one of those features that I wish that Android phones have. It, like for them, you just have to point your finger where you want the cursor to go, which is a little bit less precise.
Yeah, I've actually noticed there are some keyboards, and the Google keyboard, I feel like used to do this, but then it didn't do it the last time, where you can do that, where you can hold down on the space bar and drag left and right, but it doesn't allow you to use the full keyboard as kind of like a touchpad for moving the cursor up and down. It's literally just left to move it further left, and you know maybe it eventually goes up to the next line, but it looks a lot more intuitive on what you were showing off.
Yeah, so I think the bottom line is that for that particular feature, you're not really giving much up.
Yeah. Yeah. What now? You mentioned camera, so we might as well talk about that. Yeah. One of the things that that you point out is, of course, the loss of optical zoom. Optical zoom, like, you know, actual optical zoom versus like a digital zoom solution. Right. Maybe save for the new Pixel 3 because it does digital zoom really well, I have to admit.
Right.
But optical zoom, I figure, is just one of those things that if you can have it, you should have it. It's just such a useful feature. But this does not have optical zoom on it, right?
Right. And that's one of the trade-offs that Apple made. And maybe it was a cost concession in terms of having that second lens. And that example that you're seeing there, especially when you zoom in, you'll see that the text is a little bit sharper on the iPhone XS Max compared to the iPhone XR. But it's also just sort of like when you're using the camera in day-to-day situations. So this morning, for example, I walked out of the house and it was way too early. The moon was still out. And it was like breaking, like, between the trees, and I just wanted to press that button and boom, zoom in, right? As opposed to, you know, pinching and zooming and trying to get it just right. It's just like a really nice feature to have that I think some people would miss if they are stepping up from, let's say, an iPhone 7 Plus, right? Or an iPhone 8 Plus. But the good news is that you are getting portrait mode, right? And that works fairly well.
So that was my next question. What's the difference between the portrait mode on the XR and the XS? Mm-hmm.
Sure. So the biggest difference was that there's two. One is that for now, it only works for people. So unlike the Pixel 3 or Pixel 2, where you could use it for pretty much anything, like, you know, flowers or whatever you're taking a picture of, the depth effect only works for people. And so it'll actually say, we're, you know, waiting for a person to enter the frame, which is kind of interesting. So over time, who knows, they'll make it a little bit smarter. The other thing is, like, that example that you're seeing there between the iPhone XR and I think it's the Pixel 3, is that is actually a zoomed in crop that we did because the iPhone XR does not have a telephoto zoom. So when you are taking portraits, you're a little bit more zoomed out than you are on the other iPhone. So it doesn't mean it's a worse portrait. It just looks a little bit different.
Hmm. So who do you think should buy the 10 and who should buy the XR? I mean, the XS, XS and XR.
Yeah. So I actually think it comes a lot down to size. So when you think about the lineup that they have, the iPhone XS gives you a 5.8-inch display. And it is a little bit of a bummer that if you want something that's truly one-hand friendly, you have to step up to a $1,000 phone if you want a new phone in Apple's lineup, right? On the other hand, I think the reason why Apple went with 6.1 inches for the iPhone XR is that the appetite for big phones is just increasing. And I think a lot of people want to so-called, you know, future-proof their purchase because we're using our phones for a lot more, especially like binge-watching videos, Instagram, and that sort of thing. So a lot of people want to have the bigger display. So I feel like that's really the biggest differentiator. And then other than that, you know, for the iPhone XS Max, I think right there it's really more about, do you want to have that 2x optical zoom, and are you willing to pay more for a closer-to-perfect OLED display?
Now, you also talk a lot about battery, and you seem very positive on the battery life. Big boost with this device. I'm always kind of curious because everybody has kind of a different, you know, judge or basis to judge that on, right? Like, you know, I've got X amount of apps syncing, whatever. Like on your daily usage, what did that kind of translate out to? Is it that you would normally, you know, plug your phone at night and you would see like 10% remaining, but on this one you saw 20%? Or was it that noticeable of a difference?
I would say it's closer to 20% in terms of, you know, the day-to-day usage. At what we do and what you see right there, it's a web surfing battery test, right? So obviously not everyone's going to be surfing the web for 11 hours in a row.
Sure.
But we try to mirror real-world usage in the sense that we're picking up our phones, 150 to 200 times a day, right? So what we do with our battery test is that we do keep the screen on, but we wait 30 seconds to go to the next website. And we use the 30 of the most popular websites. And we also dial down the brightness to 150 nits, which is about, on the iPhone, for example, it's about 50%. So it is pretty close to real-world usage. And I think the fact that you are getting close to an hour more over the iPhone XS Max and even more over the iPhone XS, I think that's one really big reason to go for the XR, especially if you care about endurance.
Is there any possibility that the different screen technologies, the LCD versus OLED, is improving that factor at all?
In this case, I don't think so. I think what you're going to find in the teardowns, which are not out yet, I think they will be soon, is that the iPhone XR will likely have a bigger battery in terms of the milliamp hours. OLED like there's pros and cons to both. Like, and it also depends on what you have on the screen. So if you're watching content with a dark background, for example, on OLEDs, you are going to get longer battery life because it's not firing up those pixels, so to speak.
That makes sense.
So I know your review of the Pixel 3 also came out this week. So leaving aside the camera, I mean, I think everyone agrees the Pixel 3 camera is better, of course, than the 10R, maybe then better than the 10S for some things. Would you, how else did the two compare, the 10R and the Pixel 3? I mean, I know it's sort of, you know, we probably would all say, well, you're either in the iOS ecosystem or you're in the Android ecosystem. But I know people, you know, switch back and forth. So how do you, would you compare those two phones other than the camera?
I would say like the biggest other difference is Google Assistant and what you can do with it and the overall smarts of the phone. I really do feel like Google is putting the smart back in smartphone. And they started last year with really highlighting Google Assistant. But now that, like, I'll give you an example. So Google Lens, the fact that that is built into the camera, you don't even have to go to a separate setting. And you could just point it at something like a plant or flowers or a business and just learn more about it, like, right on the spot. Apple doesn't have anything like that. And I think the other big difference is what they're doing with, you guys are probably familiar with the screen call feature, where, you know, if you're getting a call from someone that you don't know, Google Assistant can step in on your behalf and say, hey, I'm Google Assistant. And they can start transcribing the call in real time so you could decide whether or not you want to pick up. So it's like those types of features, like iPhone owners will say they really wish that they had on their phone. But I don't know if Google's gotten to the point where people are like, you know what, I'm going to just give up iOS altogether, because they still have that pull, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've received a couple of calls where that call screening feature has appeared, and I don't know why. I know I need to test it out, but I was like afraid to get into it. I can't tell you exactly why. It was easier for me to just be like, it's an unknown caller. I'm just going to let him either choose to leave a message or you know, hang up, than it was for me to like go through the button pressing options of the call screening. I need to get over that, apparently.
It kind of makes you feel like a digital bouncer.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It was almost, to a certain, like, it's magical and it's very interesting, but it was kind of more work than I wanted to do at that moment. You know, it's like, well, why would I do that? If it's important, they'll leave me a message.
Well, my question about that also is, like, I don't want to answer spam calls because I'm afraid then they'll know it's a live phone number.
Yeah.
And then they'll keep calling me. Is that, I don't know if that's true or not. Do you know?
You know, I'm not sure, but I feel like, you know, once Google Assistant gets involved in a call like that, they're not going to, chances are they're not going to call back, right? Because they know that they're going to, you know, meet a robot instead of you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good point.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. Mark Spoonhauer is editor-in-chief at Tom's Guide. You can read his review of the 10R. You can read his review of the Pixel 3 and all the other products he gets his hands on. And you can also find him at M. Spoonhauer on Twitter. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.